Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we get into the news. We have some tragedy in the news. A young woman died. We'll tell you about her in a minute. Also, we get into Fast and Furious, new storylines as well. New possibilities. First, Oracle, NetSuite. Problem with a growing business. Well, it's a hodgepodge. The systems, man. You got one for accounting, one for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle. And it's a management software that handles all aspects of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. Save time, save money, save headaches by managing sales, financing, accounting, orders, HR. Do it all instantly and right from your desktop or your phone. It's the world's number one cloud business system. And right now, NetSuite is offering valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Adam. That's netsuite.com/Adam. You can download your free guide, grow those profits, netsuite.com/Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, first, some breaking news. I did a Google Chubette, and the first thing that came up was a clothing line, an ad from the 50s that says, she can have a tummy and still look yummy. And you get a free pounds and personality booklet, advice for chubby girls, how to
blow guys,
what to do about nicknames, her place in the home,
Slurpee,
active play, diet, appearance. So, yeah, maybe we can put this on the website.
Wow.
Chubette.
Wow.
Okay.
Damn. Dan was right.
Yep. So, Joel Schumacher could give Wilt Chamberlain and Gene Simmons a little run for their money in the sex department, apparently. The director, whose credits include Batman and Robin, St. Elmo's Fires, Lost Boys, he estimates that he has gone to bed with up to 20,000 people.
I'm glad I said people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said people.
Mm-hmm. People. In an interview with Vulture, the openly gay 79-year-old says that numbers, really, it's really not that big of a deal. It's not that amazing number for a gay man. He explains, now a lot of gay people are getting married, they're adopting, they're having children. That wasn't the case when I was young. But don't expect Schumacher to name names. He says, I've had sex with famous people, I've had sex with married people. Those names are going to the grave. Now, just to put this in perspective, Wilt Chamberlain also claims to have sex with 20,000 partners. Gene Simmons, around 5,000 women.
The I mean, obviously, it's on a curve if you're gay, because the barrier to entry is nil, because that's two dudes deciding if we're going to have sex on the first date, and that's an easy one to figure out. The the dude on chick, you got to work a little harder, because it's a tougher putt. I don't know. Does anyone really believe it? And also, And wouldn't you guys tend to believe, like, when they go 20,000 women, like, wouldn't it be, you know, like, I always say, like, plumbers, when they give you a quote, they go, $1,379.21 with parts and labor. And you go, okay, because if they said 1,500, they just give it a round number, you go, give me $1,000. You'd go, you're ripping me off.
Yeah.
They give you a real specific number, you tend to believe it. Do you think Wilt has a number, had a number, or do you think that he just kind of rounded up?
He's probably rounding up.
Yeah, I'd go with rounding.
Yeah.
Not exactly 20,000. I also, Sonny was telling me, Sonny was going nuts on Wilt. He said Wilt could touch the top of the backboard. He said he had a 40-inch vertical.
He was an incredible athlete. Incredible. He's not just the most dominant basketball player of all time. He did track and field at, I think, University
of Kansas.
High jump
and stuff like that.
He was an incredible, maybe the best athlete who's lived in the last century. I mean, he's in that category.
Well, just pounding all that poontang. In my book, gets you up there. But did he have a four? So Sonny was going, he could grab a quarter off the top of I know, it was a little bit of that. And
but he was an incredible athlete.
And he said he had a 40-inch vertical and blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
God, Chris can look. I think he did track and field at Harvard College.
He said he did a high jump, but that kind of made sense. But
he scored 40 inches for a guy that tall, that big. That's moving a lot of mass.
Yeah, he's really good.
Vertical.
He scored 50
that's
points
not really
per
good,
game
Brian.
In a season.
That's
50
beaming.
Points per game in a season.
Insane.
Like the next highest, like 37 or something.
And I bet LeBron has a super high vertical too, and he's a big dude. You know. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
So Will actually claimed 46 to 48 inch vertical.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Sonny was down rounding.
And Sonny Hill from Philadelphia, Philadelphia leaping legend, said the only man who's been able to top him was Wilt.
Wow.
That's incredible. Yeah. What an athlete.
46-inch vertical, 12-inch horizontal, from what I understand.
Right, yeah.
So. On Wednesday afternoon, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand issued a written statement and video on Twitter announcing the end of her campaign for president, explaining that her decision resulted in it just not being her time.
I think that's very brave of her.
Very brave.
Super brave.
Here's a short clip of her announcement. Nope. Okay. So far, the main...
Was that planned? Because that was hilarious.
No, she says I quit. Okay. So far, the main Dems who have dropped out of the race that you might have heard of, Eric Swalwell, John Hickenlooper, Governor Jay Inslee, Seth Moulton, now Kristen. The Dems that remain, according to the New York Times, are Biden, Booker, Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Sanders, Warren, and Andrew Yang.
There, people keep tweeting me to get Andrew Yang on the show,
yeah.
And I go, "Yeah, let's do it." Now there's, what's her name? Tulsi Gabbard. There's a little controversy because she's not being asked, I think, to the next debate.
She's not polling high enough.
But she's polling in some places high enough and not in other places, and she thinks they're getting a little selective about where they're choosing their info. And also, she was up there busting some chops too. She's not toeing the line. So I don't think I think Tulsi got into it with Kamala Harris and her like prison reform shit. She was busting her chops on a lot of the shit she was pulling back in the day, and she's. I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but she's not coming back.
Well,
and
we have emails saying that sometimes they like to steer things certain ways.
But if that was the case, wouldn't they have, I don't know if they could do this, but like Kamala went after Joe Biden, and he's the alpha dog at that point, right?
Yes.
So wouldn't they be smart to cut her?
Well, they're not. I don't think they can clip you.
Yeah.
You got to be near the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah,
and if you're near the Mason-Dixon line, like Tulsi is, then they can use this polling data and that polling data, but not the other polling data, and kind of get you out of it. Because I feel like she's mixing it up in there.
That's part of their playbook, right? I mean, they got Sanders out last time during the convention by saying, hey, Hillary won, and maybe that wasn't exactly what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You remember that? So this is kind of the playbook for the Democrats.
I'm sure it's in the playbook for everyone all the time. I mean, it's politics. She won't likely qualify for the next primary debate, says, because of lack of she says it's because of the lack of transparency.
With the polling.
Yeah, right. That's what she's saying, that the DNC has a lack of transparency.
Interesting.
This is the best thing that happened to her. You know, like, her name out there.
A lot of attention, yes.
I don't give Trump a lot of compliments, but his trolling of Gillibrand and the Democrats after was like legitimately funny. He said something along the lines like, oh no, she dropped out. When did they find out that she was the one I was really afraid of?
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
New plan. Is there any way on any planet where Comedy Central could get President Donald Trump to roast Alec Baldwin?
Oh, man.
Well, somebody work on that.
They have the Trump show, the impersonator who's really
President
good.
President Donald Trump to roast Alec Baldwin.
I would like to be present for that. I will, if it does happen.
I'm glad they never found out that she was the one I was really afraid of.
That's funny.
Did, I'm trying to... It's an incredible world. All right, anyway, here we go.
So you did promise some hot supermarket top at the top of the show. I did say I had some hot supermarket top. Yes. And just a few hours after Leslie Jones' exit from Saturday Night Live was revealed, she has already set her first post-SNL TV gig, trading sketch comedy for game shows, hosting the new reboot of Supermarket Sweep, my favorite game show of all time. So, in case you remember, in case
Will
you don't remember,
she be the least missed cast member ever on SNL
based on her size? Probably only missed, like yes,
missed. Yeah. Brian, come on. She was not good on that show at all.
I feel like she only. I mean, I don't watch it as often as like Brian, but I don't. I feel like she wasn't in a ton of sketches. It was mostly just features on Weekend Update.
I've fallen off in the last few years, but the few times I would tune in, she wasn't my favorite, let's just say.
She's not even, she's weak. Yeah. She basically, she got like cyber bullied and then everyone kind of rushed to her defense. But she didn't do characters. She flubbed every line. Like, she just wasn't good on that show.
Pick right now Leslie Jones or Pete Davidson to save for SNL.
That's tough because they're both kind of zero burgers. They just didn't bring anything
to
those shows.
Does Pete even appear in sketches anymore or just do Weekend Update?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought Leslie did the same thing.
They would like be around a little, but they were both way off the mark in terms of the next most talented person on that crew. So
well,
neither shall be missed.
Perhaps you'll enjoy her on Supermarket Sweep. That originally aired from 1965 to 1967.
Gotta go for those diapers.
Lifetime from 90 to 95.
Well, I think canned ham was always the one you wanted.
Yeah, I'm
going to
show you a clip, and you are right. PAX from 99 to 2003. So far, the reboot doesn't have a home.
You got to go for LaCroix.
But, you know, she was on NBC, and she has a comedy special on Netflix. Maybe they can work something out. So if you need a refresher on how Supermarket Sweep is played, contestants answer grocery-based trivia and then enter into this timed race through a supermarket trying to beat the other teams by filling their cart with the most expensive items. What's more exciting than this? Here's a clip of the final moment.
Can we just call it what it really is, which is why the terrorists hate us? let's just call it the ugly Americans.
Yes.
Because this is really just us. We build a supermarket on a soundstage. Mm-hmm. Like, number one.
With a live audience.
You put a supermarket in a soundstage. And you fully stock it. And then you have just people running, chucking hams at each other.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry.
Here it is.
This is my lovely wife of 1 year and 8 months.
1 year and 8 months, but who's counting, right, Tasha? What do you do, Tasha?
I'm an engineer with Caltrans, the state of California.
Oh, there aren't a lot of female engineers, are there?
No, there aren't.
Why is that? Is that a...
I like math, and I think that a lot of women don't like the technical things, and it might be a right, left brain thing that a lot of women don't have.
I agree with you. This is uncomfortable. I have no functioning left brain whatsoever, and left. What do you do, sir?
I'm a grad student, and I'm also a substitute teacher.
All right, you guys ready to play the game?
Yeah.
I suggest we get on with it then. So let's give our first players a chance to pick up some extra seconds. And that means that Les, Cheryl, and Cindy, we'll see you guys in a little bit.
It starts with produce.
Okay, yeah. Well, this isn't the clip I thought it was, but
who
they do run
the
through
host?
The... That was, what was his name? He didn't do anything else. I figured he was a stand-up or something.
I'm going to go with didn't do anything else either.
But...
David Martin Ruprecht?
Ruprecht.
Mm.
The world's changed a lot since the strategy of the old, you know, Supermarket Sweep. Nowadays, you'd want to go, you want highest price to lowest volume, right? Take the least amount of space in your cart.
Went
you want
the
razors.
Most expensive, yes.
Razors, lithium batteries. I mean, right. I don't know if they can.
They go for giant Thanksgiving turkeys, wheels of cheese. They
don't
are pushing those carts through the aisle.
Yeah, you'd go with the cartridges now.
Those
lithium,
are locked.
Yeah, lithium batteries.
Hearing aid batteries and all that stuff. Although I bet they don't stock it that way now.
That's a good point.
It's too boring.
It's pretty generic, I'd imagine.
All right. Why not more female engineers? I don't know. How come no black talk show hosts, honky?
This is
uncomfortable. Didn't you like her answer? I don't know. It's math. I guess a lot of chicks don't like math.
I do like when a guy asks a question.
If Bill O'Reilly had said that, it'd burn down his studio.
Yeah, no. He asks a question, and then he kind of realizes halfway into the answer that he should cut
abort.
It short and move on with it. Well, if you're at the supermarket, pick up some Dos Equis. That's what I wanted to say. See what I did there? Hey, college football fans, Dos Equis.
Don't sleep on the Dos Equis Amber.
Do not sleep on the Dos Equis Amber. And you can enroll in the Dos Equis College Football College. You see what they did there? You learn from brilliant football minds like Jay Cutler, Martellus Bennett, Katie Nolan, and John Bacon. And not only that, you can win every football argument this season and a chance to win tickets to the 2020 College Football Playoffs and the National Championship. Be the first in your family to earn a football watching certificate. Ooh, Sonny should go for one of those from a beer school. Enroll in Dos Equis College Football College at dosequis.com/edu. Dos Equis, keep it interesante, right, Dawson?
Dos Equis beer brands. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Copyright 2019. Dos Equis beer brands. No purchase necessary. 50 USDC, 21 plus only. Enter by 12/20/19. Full rules available at dosequis.com/edu.
We got to take a quick break.
Dos Equis has dropped off 14 cases of beer. Somebody get the pillowcase they use to transport prisoners and put it over Vinny's head so we can enjoy ourselves. You'll be like one of the guys leaving the American embassy with Al Qaeda. So we'll be sitting there drinking Dos Equis Amber.
Come on, fellas. Come on.
All right. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, some sad news. TV personality Jesse Combs died in a crash Tuesday while trying to beat her land speed record in a 52,000 horsepower jet powered car. If you've heard of her, she's 39 years old, was dubbed the fastest woman on four wheels after breaking 398 miles an hour in the same North American Eagle supersonic speed challenger in 2013. That's according to Jalopnik. Combs was a lot more, by the way, than a very fast person. She was a skilled builder, a fabricator, representing the American Welding Society, even designing a line of women's welding gear. Combs was an accomplished off-road racer as well, competing in the Baja 1000. And was the first woman. We've never talked about this race, I don't think, so I don't know how familiar you are. The King of Hammers.
The Queen of the Hammers.
They call her the Queen of Hammers. That's right. 2016, yeah. She had a first place finish at the King of Hammers. That is an off-road race that combines desert racing and rock crawling. This race is held in February on Means Dry Lake at Johnson Valley, California, and she died during this, this test.
It's very sad. We're talking about this on CarCast, which will air tomorrow, today. Like that, going over it. Yeah, we knew her a little bit.
Did you ever interview her?
I know I've, God, I must have come around. We must have come across her a time or two. First off, I'm in love with fabricators. I love people who can weld. I like people who put things together. It's a mindset. No more. They're not eating the ultimate burger. They're fucking building shit. Like, I love those people. I like people that challenge themselves. Like, there's no reason to break your own record other than to simply challenge yourself. And, you know, there's not enough of that. The problem is like we're talking about with the stoicism. You know, if you're a coward, then you're on one side of the spectrum. If you're dying in a rocket car, you may have gone a little too far on the other side. We try to find that middle, that balancing point. But if you show me someone's life and you show me someone who spent their entire life sitting next to my dad on a beanbag chair waiting for someone to buy him a flugelhorn versus someone who didn't see their 40th birthday because they died just getting a rush, just doing what they wanted to do, I'll take that shortened life over the long life that's a fucking zero. And that's how she lived it. So yeah. God bless her.
I don't know if, Vinny, I don't know if you were familiar with that name, Jesse.
She was on Mythbusters, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, I'm trying to figure it out right here, but there was a woman who was the fastest female on a bicycle on the Salt Flats. And the way they do it is they pull them up to 100 miles an hour, and then they start pedaling the bike. Yeah. And she had here's photos of it. She had a female in the dragster that she dragged behind in order to do it. And I think that was the woman, because it was an all-woman team.
Oh, wow.
Her name is familiar to me. Maybe I heard it on CarCast because I'm a big Matt D'Andrea fan.
They have
as opposed to that other guy.
The thing about the
wrestler? Yeah. The wrestler guy?
Yeah. Goldberg. The thing about the speed records is they have, it's not just speed. It's like they have a motorcycle speed record. They have a under 2 liter speed record. They have driven by wheels speed record. Your car's driven by wheels. A rocket car is a roller skate. It's not driven. Right. The wheels aren't turning. It's a bottle rocket on a roller skate. And when you start getting up into over 300, maybe, I don't know, what is the fastest wheel driven speed? But as you pass 330, 350, you go from turning the rear wheels to rocket powered. If you've
Okay.
Following? You guys following me?
Yeah.
A drag,
the wheels aren't doing the work.
A dragster will turn the rear wheels, and then. But when you start getting into the sound barrier and 600 and 700 and 800 miles, that's all just the wheels are literally just turning, and you're on a rocket ship on the ground. And this was in Oregon, which is weird too. I didn't know there was a salt flats
out there.
Too
many trees.
The world's fastest wheel-driven vehicle, 503 miles per hour.
Wow!
Wow! Yeah.
Jesus Christ! That is. That is getting up there.
Was that with a Wankel engine, or was that with a?
It was probably with multiple.
Because you need something that's going that can turn over that fast. And Wankel has no end to it when you think about it.
Talking about a rotary engine,
yeah.
But what
uses
they
Lycoming turbine engine from a Chinook helicopter.
So it's a turbine.
So they can
engine,
just keep turning. Yeah. All right. She'll be missed. Go ahead, Gina.
Well, it looks like it looks as if Paul Walker's character in the Fast and Furious franchise may get another storyline, according to TheBlast.com. Vin Diesel, on set for Fast and Furious 9, has posted a picture of him with Cody Walker, who is the brother of the late Paul Walker, who died in 2013 before Fast and Furious 7 was finished. Walker played Brian O'Connor. Cody and Caleb Walker, who we've had on before, both stepped in to finish Fast and Furious 7, acting as body doubles for the late actor. Now rumors are swirling that O'Connor...
It'll be a fun moment. I'd like to go to the set, see Cody and see Vin sitting there and go, Jesus, oh, you're Paul's brother. Jesus, just a spitting image of Paul. This is fantastic. We can carry this legacy on with you. Vin, do you have a brother? No, I don't. Okay, good. That's good. Good thing. Anyway, all right.
Just make conversation.
Back to work.
I'll see you guys at craft service.
And action.
No brother at all, right?
No, none.
Okay, good. Well, good, fantastic.
Well, wouldn't you want me to continue in the...
I'll see you guys at craft service.
Okay.
Cody, this is awesome. Your brother would be happy about this. Vin, obviously.
I've been a pretty big part of the series franchise.
No, I'm just saying. One Vin's enough. You know what I'm saying? I don't need a second
Vin
running around.
I'm too much Vin for the room.
Kind of, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, Fast and Furious isn't set to hit theaters until
Hey, The Rock, do you have a brother? Oh, good. You do?
I do, hey, actually. Have several, yeah.
Fantastic.
From a large family. Why do you ask?
Oh, man. Bring them to the set.
Oh, no problem. I'd love to come visit sometime.
Mm-hmm. I love that you would address him, The Rock. Hey, The
Vin
Rock.
Has what?
Vin has a twin brother.
He has a twin brother. Wait a minute.
It.
What is
fraternal, though, but he has a twin brother.
Whoa. Yeah. They look nothing alike.
He has a twin.
Yeah.
That's funny.
His twin looks like Chris Morgan.
What does he do? What's he do?
I'll find out. His name's Paul, though.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't
Jesus. Like this. This is weird.
Paul Diesel?
Vin Diesel's real name's Mark Sinclair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus. That's always a weird one. That you died and his name is Paul. Because Paul Newman. It's always a weird one that Paul Newman hooked up with Bob Sharp to do his race team. Bob Sharp had a son named Scott who raced with him and was probably the same age as Paul Newman's son, I think, Scott, who died, OD'd at 26. Mm. So there's a lot of Scott, my son Scott's going to be joining us for the whatever.
I love that Scott so much. It's a father-son time.
Ship off the old block. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be rough, right?
Yeah.
You lose your son at 26, he's kind of the same age as the other guy you're partnered with,
and
he's in on the team. Like, you won't be driving. Scott's going to drive the first leg of the race. Gotta that fucking sucks. Never go away, right?
Yeah.
What was Max Banna off the top of your head?
Yeah.
How old is Scott Sharp? And then how old is... He's got to be younger, fair bit younger than Scott Newman was, but Scott?
Scott Sharp is 51.
I wonder what Scott Newman would have been or what year he was born or when he died. Anyway, so.
Well,
Vin has a twin.
Vin has a twin.
He's got to be up to something, right? Something Scott, interesting? You find Scott first. Yeah. And
claims
Scott,
adjuster.
Scott Newman was born in 1950, so 18 years younger than
Scott Sharp.
Okay. That's
a little span there.
Vin's brother looks like he could be a accountant.
I'm hoping for something...
A good one.
Yeah.
Gay, for some reason.
Something gay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll find out. Well, Jussie Smollett's PR team issued a statement recently insisting that every iota of the former Empire Star story about his hate attack in Chicago is true and backed up by police evidence.
Hold on. His PR team said that?
He sure did.
Garrigus is rip shit that they're reopening
which is always funny when he's outraged. Yeah, here's what he's talking about. The statement was issued to the media after the city of Chicago filed new documents in court related to its lawsuit against Smollett to recoup the cost of investigating this incident, which they argue was a staged publicity stunt. They want their money back. The city says they have GPS data, video, and other evidence to prove that Smollett paid two men to stage the attack. How says Mark Garrigus?
Gloria Allred says, we don't know if this is going to help Smollett's career or not, because we don't have a crystal ball.
It could rocket him to the stratosphere.
Garrigus is upset, although as upset as he can be, which is not very upset.
He's affable.
He doesn't like the fact that they're spending all this and reopening and whatever. You know, it's one of these things where we're living in this weird time when... Yes, maybe they are spending a bunch of time and resources doing something that they don't need to do, and it could be allocated toward other things. Correct. Still doesn't mean your guy's not a shyster douchebag who brought this upon himself.
Both can be true.
They both can be true.
It's also a little good for the goose, good for the gander. Like, if this was a publicity stunt and this is just kind of grandstanding on their part, it's kind of how it goes.
And I'm sorry, but Chicago, are you really crying afoul at all the crime and all the lying that goes on
the corruption
in that city? Yes.
The Vin's brother, Paul, worked as a sound engineer and has worked on a few films with Vin.
Yeah, other than that, though, very little known. A lot of publications call him like a mystery man.
Just the kind of mystery man you want. Totally anonymous.
What's Don Swayze up to?
Frank Stallone.
Yeah, the greats.
Love me some Frank Stallone.
Yeah. I see him almost every weekend.
I see him, too, eating soup with old people.
I see him at my shooting club. We shoot at the same.
At Oak Tree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's there almost every week because, you know, it's when you hear Stallone yell, pull, it sounds like Sly's yelling, pull.
I went up Beverly Glen or something to some restaurant. There's some restaurant.
Vibrato.
Yeah.
I have a story about that too.
On your birthday. That was the Italian place next to it.
I went to Vibrato.
I'm going in a couple weeks.
I guess I went to that's where
there's not too many jazz clubs off of Beverly Glen.
You know who owns that, right?
Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
It's Herb Alpert's Vibrato Grill Jazz.
I met Seth MacFarlane there for lunch a few years ago.
Oh, he must go there all the time.
And I walked in there and there was Stallone sitting with old boxing beat reporters from like the Los Angeles Times, like guys in their 90s, just eating minestrone soup.
Stupid question. Frank Stallone?
Frank Stallone.
We said boxing guys.
Frank. Well, he loves boxing too.
Okay.
Frank Stallone just sitting there eating soup with two old paisans in the middle. And I was like, this is a perfect place for you to
By
be.
By the way, Frank Stallone is not that much younger than Sly. He looks better than Sly at this point, wouldn't you say? I mean, he looks younger.
He's in amazing shape. Is he?
He's in his 70s. He's got to be, by definition.
Late 60s.
I don't know. We'll find out.
He does not look like a 70-year-old man.
Christy took me to Vibrato for my 40th birthday last year. On the day of my birthday, Frank Stallone was performing with the big band. With the jazz quartet. Mm-hmm. He is an excellent singer. All joking aside about Frank Stallone, that dude can sing.
And he can box, and he can eat soup with old people.
Renaissance,
he's got a lot of range.
He's a good singer.
Can I say, maybe we're giving him a little short shrift in life. Maybe he deserves a little more.
No, he's a good guy. As a matter of fact,
69. I know he's a good guy, but what I'm saying is he's a little bit of a joke as Sly's brother, but he's a great performer, and he's a great dude. 69. Stallone is
76, I think. Let me double.
He can't be that
73.
Old.
He's 73. Wow. Excuse me.
So 4 years.
No, Vinny's assertion is right. Frank looks better as an older guy.
Yeah, nice and pumped. As a matter of fact, Adam, when I see him, can I use you as a hey? Adam and I are friends. Do you know Adam? Can I go there?
Oh, he's that kind of guy where he'd go. Oh, I love Adam. Let's go do something or whatever.
Because, sometimes I'm shooting alone. He's shooting alone. sometimes it's better to shoot with someone else. You get on your game better.
Yeah, go over there and tell him Adam Carolla said hi.
All right, I will.
Is this him?
Some witchcraft. Witchcraft.
What a magical evening for you. All right, let me hit Geico, and then we'll do another story here. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day, or go to see Frank Stallone. Croon. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, Gina, one more.
Well, speaking of cops and corruption and all this stuff, it's a bit of a local story, but it's pretty interesting. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva held a press conference on Wednesday to announce that Deputy Angel Reynosa is no longer employed by the department.
Self-inflicted wound?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And not even really. He kind of poked a couple of holes in his clothes. So the LA Times report that he's 21, Reynosa, initially told investigators that he had been on his way to his car in the station's parking lot when he was hit by rifle fire from a nearby apartment building.
What's his name?
Angel Reynosa.
All right. Hey, my Hispanic brothers and the folks that run the city, I know you want a police department that represents you ethnically.
That said,
how about good cops? How about that?
Yeah, I'll try that next.
Because I know this guy's got a last name that sounds like yours, but that doesn't make him a good cop.
No, it does not.
Okay. I like good cops. And if any paisans want to be cops who self-inflict wounds and then claim there's a sniper on the building,
mm-hmm.
I will disavow them as well in place of a Hispanic cop who does their job correctly. How about that?
It's fair.
That'd be nice.
You know, we had that happen at Camino Real a few years ago. I lived a couple blocks from that school. All of a sudden, the guard shot himself in the chest. He hit his bulletproof vest. So he said, hey, there was a couple of black guys that showed up.
Oh, I heard that story.
We couldn't go back home that night. They cordoned off the whole area. They're searching for these two black guys. And at about 2 in the morning, he goes, he's in the hospital. He's like, yeah, I was fiddling with my gun and shot myself.
Well, you know, we're talking about Jussie Smollett and talking about sort of unintended consequences, steering it back to brave and hero. Mm-hmm. If everyone's goal is to be a brave hero, there's going to be more sort of self-inflicted stuff, because if that's the status we're looking for, and we want to get to that status, but we don't want to have a noose put around our head actually, then how do we get from here to there? Self-inflict.
Yeah.
How far ahead of his time was Morton Downey Jr.?
Oh, my God. He desecrated his own forehead
backwards
in a bathroom at a supermarket. We should have thrown that guy into a compost mulcher like that very day. Like the second we found out, he drew a swastika on his own forehead with a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
And then imagine like beating himself up, like pulling on
Fight
his
club
eye
style.
And punching himself in the
Fight
face.
Fight Club style. Liar, liar.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he had to land like at an airport, like in a public place. He had to like stagger out of the head going, the humanity. You with the Jamba Juice.
Somebody help.
Hey, you with the Cinnabon. Get on the phone. I've been desecrated. We got to put you on Devil's Island. We can no longer have you in our society.
Roaming amongst society.
I don't mind murders and rapists, but this, my friend, this we can't have.
Yeah.
He desecrated himself.
Liar, Liar's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Who did this to you? A desperate man.
All right.
So, and it was funny because I heard on the radio they cleared out the apartment building, you know, next to this police station. Everybody was evacuated. It was a whole deal. And then they announced, we found a person of interest. He had an air pump rifle, or he had a whatever. The guy ended up being a professional extra, basically. He's like, I play a cop a lot. I have to come with my own props. Who are you? What are you talking about? So they didn't have a person of interest. This dude made it up. He was a struggling young cop anyway, and thought this would give him a few extra points, and now he's gone.
Well, let's not forget all roads leading to Garrigus. He represents a client that was executed because of an air rifle, and somebody said he's in a hotel with an air rifle, and that guy was executed by the police in the hall. So this could easily have spun into something like that.
Yes.
So your little prank can get people killed. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. She can have a tummy and still look yummy.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing. Three times.
She can have a tummy and still look yummy.
Stronger than leading full synthetic. It is Castrol Edge. This documentary is changing lives, everybody. Fat, a documentary available now on Blu-ray, DVD, and on demand. And it is a wonderful, wonderful piece. And you should not only watch it, you should share it. Of course, the podcast, Fitness Confidential, available on Apple Podcasts as well. Corolla Classics coming up this Labor Day. We'll come back on Tuesday. But these guys, Vinny and Max Zapata, Gio and Max Zapata have been knocking it out of the ballpark on these Corolla Classics. So good on you. Portland tonight. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all that you need and all the live shows everywhere. And check out Not Taco Bell material if you would. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Vinny Tortorich and Matt Richtel and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
Hey, bro. I'm vegan, bro, and I got a man bun, bro.
Stick around. Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is up next.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Friday edition of Hot Sports Talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we did it, we did it, we did it. For real. I know I've been saying it for a month, but for real, we really did it this time because football is here tomorrow at the time of this recording. Football, college football, meaningful college football games await our eyeballs. We'll get into that in just a little bit, and then pro football kicking off in just a matter of days, Ace. We'll dive in on Bears and Packers and all the rest of it. Maybe we can even do some game picks if you'd like to in the coming shows. But college football is here. But before we get in on that, Hard Knocks has passed. Gruden, you saw John Gruden. What are your thoughts on John Gruden? I guess a way to address this is your long-distance drive scenario. Drive across the country. Would you rather do it with John Gruden, the man, or with Frank Caliendo as John Gruden?
Mm.
We saw both on Hard Knocks.
Well, we could have Frank also toggle in between Madden and Gruden bored.
What would get tiresome? The fake kind of like raised eyebrow thing that Gruden does to intimidate people, I suppose, is what I guess what that's supposed to do.
Mm.
Wouldn't you laugh? I mean, he's one of those guys, he's been in the zeitgeist long enough that if you're a 25-year-old guy and he starts, John Gruden yells at you, wouldn't you be like, ha ha, I know that bit. Yeah, that's a funny character you do. Like, I wouldn't take it serious. I wouldn't be scared by it.
You know, Chucky's his nickname, right?
Chucky, yeah.
Yeah, named after the doll. Also, Chucky's in Love. That was a popular song from the late 70s, early 80s. But that's not the one they ever refer to.
No.
Is Gruden, like, at a certain point, there's certain guys where you go, you think guys like, you take the UFC, and you go, like, Tito Ortiz was one of the baddest men on the planet, and he was the welterweight champ or the middleweight champ or whatever, whatever, whatever. And at a certain point, you stand back and look at his record, and he's 29 and 21. And you're like, he's unstoppable? Like, y'all know, he's the best. It's like, yeah, but he's got 29 wins and 21 losses.
He's got a lot
losses.
Of self-esteem issues then if he's the baddest
well,
man.
Well, I'm just saying.
Underachieving, I guess.
I'm saying, you figure out what Tito Ortiz's record is, because I'm telling you, for the baddest man on the planet.
Not that bad.
I like Tito, but I'm saying it's like you're kind of surprised that he has that many losses, you know?
That's so true.
And, you know, at what point with Gruden, like if you just kind of took over the last, you know, number of years, like at some point you step back and you look at the totality.
Oh, he's like a 500
of his record
for his life, yeah.
Tito is 20-12-1. All right, so again, he's got, you know, he's got 20 wins, but he's got 12 losses in
his winning
one
percentage
tie.
Isn't that much better than what mine would be in the UFC.
I'll tell him next time I see him.
But you know what?
Here, Gruden, what is Gruden overall?
He's about 500, I think, is what we'll find here.
Yeah,
while
so
he
I'm
looks
saying
that up,
for a guy who's the guru, he doesn't, you know, you kind of think, well, you don't think of him as Belichick, but you think Belichick, and then you think Gruden in that pantheon of brains, you know, this guy's whatever. Sorry. 99 and 93. So when we go into week four of this season, he shall be all knotted up at 99 and 99.
It's one of the best things in
99 and 93. Sorry, week seven we'll have to be going into. Not week six.
It is funny too that
we go
he
into
knew
week seven.
He right? when they whipped the Raiders in the Super Bowl back in January of 2003 or February 2003. He knew he had just left the Raiders. Of course, that's fairly well known, but it is funny to revisit that the high point of his career is coaching against the Raiders. He knew exactly what everything that they were doing was. That's why they could just, wait, the Buccaneers are just destroying the Raiders. Oh, yeah, he knows all the plays. He knows exactly what Rich Gannon and company are doing. It's no one. It was the weirdest Super Bowl on that level that you could ever see. He just knew everything that was happening before the Raiders did it.
Yeah, soon to be Hall of Famer, I guess, middle linebacker.
Derrick Brooks.
Brooks.
John Lynch, Warren Sapp.
Not in the Hall of Fame?
Brooks is, yeah.
Oh, Brooks.
Simeon Rice. That was a great defense.
It seems like he just told Derrick Brooks what every play was going to be before
That's
they snapped
exactly
the ball,
what he did.
And Derrick Brooks just went, all right, guys, get in the huddle. Here's what the play is going to be, and they just were there.
I want to tell you about college football, but very quickly, I think I've figured it out here, Ace. Which would be more tiresome, or which would you less want to go across the country with? The guy who is predisposition, his number one characteristic of his personality is he's a tough guy. He's a bad man. I'm a bad man. Mm-hmm. That guy, that gets very tiring, that testosterone guy, or the aged hippie guy that we talked about, Bill Walton, two days ago, that guy who's just preaching that kind of the hippy-dippy kind of angle. Which would be more annoying, or which would be more difficult to sustain for you, Adam Carolla?
I'd like
to see you do either one for
I
a day.
Go hippy-dippy guy because the thing about the tough guy is the tough guy will tell you stories and he needs your reactions to them. You know what I mean? So he does that thing where the guy spills the drink on his lady and then he stands up and he looks the guy in the eye and he says, I don't care if you fight in the UFC. You spilt Chablis on the wrong skirt, and then you have to kind of acknowledge it with a oh man, or there you go, or he needs you to say you something. He needs you to respond to it.
Yeah, I know.
Whereas
exactly
the hippie guy, he's just driving, he's going up, you know, those twin towers, it didn't come down because of those jet airplanes, and you're driving and nodding, he's talking, you know what I mean?
See.
But this guy does a thing where he says something to somebody, you know, he said, I just told the guy, try it. And you have to go, wow, then what happened? You know, you're compelled to engage. You know, tough guy conversation?
Yeah, I know exactly that guy.
Yeah.
I live it, Ace.
No, that's right. You live it. Right.
Let me tell you about Dos Equis. College football fans in particular, perk your ears up here because you need to brush up on your football knowledge. Then enroll in, get ready for this, the Dos Equis College Football College, where you'll learn from brilliant football minds like Jay Cutler, Cuddy.
Cuddy.
He's now a reality TV star for the second time, I think. Wasn't he already on Hard Knocks? Martellus Bennett, one of the great characters, not just in sports, but on the Big Blue Marble in general. Katie Nolan and John Bacon, the man who wrote the book on college football. Not only will you win every football argument this season, you could even enter for a chance to win tickets to the 2020 College Football Playoff National Championship. Ooh la and la. So be the first in your family to earn a football watching certificate from a beer school. So go enroll in Dos Equis College Football College at dosequis.com/edu. Dos Equis, keep it Interesante. Gary, tell us more.
Dos Equis beer brands. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Copyright 2019. Dos Equis beer brands. No purchase necessary. 50 U.S. and D.C. 21 and over only. Enter by 12/2019. Full rules available on dosequis.com/edu.
This is the Big Game Matchup of the Week. Brought to you by Dos Equis, the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff.
Yes, Bears and Packers awaits as the NFL kickoff. We'll also see on Sunday night the Patriots playing host to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, I can't wait. The Broncos and Raiders are playing. That's high profile because that team's coming off of Hard Knocks. That'll be fun to see. But in the meantime, I mentioned two ranked teams playing coming up tomorrow here, Ace. It's the first. There's some good games out there, but the first between two ranked teams. Auburn, SEC versus Pac-12. Oregon, let's do it from a mascot standpoint, shall we? Army of Ducks against one Tiger.
An army of ducks against one tiger.
Or, you know what? Here's another way to do it. Our mutual pal, Chris Long, he does the bit where he says, what if it was a tiger-sized duck?
Uh-huh.
Or a duck-sized tiger?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that really changes the equation, does it? I don't know if that does that.
I can
or
tell
an army
you this.
Of ducks.
I birds are the meanest. And they're the most
aggressive. I know you've had your run-ins.
Well, I have, and you think about, just take geese. Mm-hmm. They hate kids.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
You ever see a kid wander around the side of a lake? He always gets chased by a goose.
Is that true?
Oh, look it up. For sure. So it's always, birds hate people. And they're
you waddled onto the wrong kid, goose.
They're super.
Tell me more.
They're super aggressive. I was at the Pebble Beach a week and a half ago, and they were flying a drone over Pebble Beach, and the seagull was just attacking it the entire time. By the way, that's how scary birds are. Like people go, oh, well, they think it's another bird, and it's like, oh, okay, but. The scariest robot bird ever, and you're going after it. You know what I mean? This one's making a humming noise, and there's blades spinning around, and it's moving weirdly and erratically. And
it also feels like the 98-pound weakling sticking his nose into a fight without any sort of a plan, not knowing how to fight. What bird could be? I mean, I guess a pterodactyl probably could handle himself in the prehistoric days, but how many birds are actually viable fighters against other beasts?
I don't know. If we had another 40 minutes, I would explain to you my attack crows now attack ravens and how we're going to thwart all mass shootings, including school shootings, with attack ravens flying at the head of the gunman.
Can only take out so many.
That would work. But I'd like to see, the Auburn is the Tigers. Which I'm guessing is a Bengal tiger. Or maybe it's another kind of tiger.
What's weird about them is they're also the War Eagles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have two. I don't know how that works. And also, Georgia Tech is the Yellow Jackets, but they're also the Ramblin' Wreck.
Don't you feel like the Ducks have kind of just ripped off Daffy Duck in terms of what the mascot looks like?
They tried to get away from it, but now it's ingrained in my brain because I saw it as a kid. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's Donald Duck. Shameful.
Yeah. I'll go with the duck the size of a tiger.
You like the underdog in this one. All right, we'll see how that plays out one way or the other, Ace. I'll drink to that.
That was the Big Game Matchup of the Week. Brought to you by Dos Equis, the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff.
They're all big matchups, Ace. Football's back. I don't care who's playing whom. I'm watching it. Football, football, football. We'll be back next week, too, with more hot sports talk for you. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get everything else at adamcarolla.com.